All right, take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 31. Back in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter 31. We had a good full house for the early service this morning and a great service, and a lot of our folks are at their summer home or vacation home, went to see the kids, all that kind of stuff. But I'm glad you're here. And we're going to look this morning at just a couple of verses having to do with King Hezekiah. And start reading in verse 20. And verse 21 will be the text verse this morning that I will develop the message around. But let's begin reading in verse 20 as God sums up the reign of King Hezekiah. He was king in Judah, and here's what God had to say about him. In verse 20 it says, "And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God." Now listen very carefully to this next verse. It says, "And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law, and in the commandments, to seek his God, he did it with his whole heart." Now you think about that for just a moment. He did it with his whole heart. But it doesn't end there, does it? It says, "and prospered." He did it with his whole heart and prospered. Now, when you and I think of prospering, we think of dollars and cents. And that's not how he prospered. He prospered spiritually speaking. He was successful. Let me put it that way. All right, that's what the word prospered means. He was successful in what he set out to do. You know, when we wholeheartedly go about to do the thing that the Lord leads us to do, and then God gets behind it, it will be successful. We've got to get God in on what we're doing. I think one of the major reasons why we're seeing such chaos and so much corruption and just seeing everything just sort of spiral out of control is because years ago we took God out of the picture. And there's very little prosperity in our land today. And but Hezekiah took over the throne of Judah. And when he did, he made up his mind that he was going to bring reform to the nation. And if you'll read the previous chapters, God tells us a great deal of his story. Back in chapter 29 and 30, you can read his story, and in 31. And when you see what the man did, it was absolutely amazing. You say, how could a guy do what Hezekiah did? Well, you got to put your heart into it. You've got to do it with all your heart. And so when God summed up the story, he told us in verse 21 that every work that he did, he did it with all his heart. And I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, with all your heart. Let's pray together and then the message. Our Father, we thank you so much for all of your blessings to us. And I pray you will help us this morning to see the importance of doing the work that you've called us to do with wholeheartedness. Father, I pray you'll help me as I speak this morning. Help me to convey what needs to be said. I pray you'll help folks to listen wholeheartedly this morning. May your Holy Spirit instruct and guide and teach us this morning. Father, I can only do so much. I can only bring the message that you have given me. But Father, I cannot make folks listen, and I cannot apply it to their hearts. So I ask for the Holy Spirit of God to do his office work this morning and use the message to to strike a chord in someone's heart. And Lord, may we leave here more determined than ever that what we do, we're going to do with all of our hearts. Bless us now this morning, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. King Hezekiah was one of the best kings who ever sat upon the throne of Judah. And here in this passage of Scripture, as through an open window, we get a glimpse as to the secret of this man's life. The Lord tells us that in everything that he did, he went at it with all of his heart. And I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of wholeheartedness. You know, when Hezekiah took the throne, he did some amazing things. You'll read in the previous chapters what he set out to do, and he set out to do it immediately. He was serious. There was no playing around. He decided that he was going to clean house in Judah, and he was going to bring the nation back into fellowship and back into a relationship with God. We will read here how he cleaned up all of the false worship. Judah was surrounded by Israel and to their north, and there was false religion and all kinds of idolatry and Baal worship. The neighbors to the east and the neighbors to the south, everybody was involved in all of this false worship, and it had infiltrated into Israel and into Judah. And when Hezekiah took the throne, he set out to rid his nation of all of this false religion, and he ordered the people to be rededicated and reconsecrated to the things of God. And what we are to see here is that with this man, it was all or nothing. When he took the job, there was no compromise. There was no tolerance for disobedience. There was no messing around. He took his job as king with about as much sincerity and as much dedication and as much forcefulness as it was humanly possible to do. And in other words, God, is what God said of him, he did the job with all of his heart. Now, the interesting thing here, as you read his story, the Bible does not tell us that he was a genius. The Bible does not tell us that he was 6'4" and had wavy black hair and high cheekbones and was full of muscles. None of that's mentioned. No, he was just your ordinary average guy. And yet, he did all these great things for the Lord. The Bible does not tell us that he was brutal. It does not tell us that he strong-armed anybody. No, he led the people to do what was right. What the Bible tells us is that he led the people, this man led the people, and they accomplished so much. And the key to his leadership and the key to his success is told to us by the Lord here. He went about his duties with his whole heart. And then in a way that the Bible seems so able to do when describing something that is of tremendous importance, the Lord adds at the end of the verse that this man who was so wholehearted prospered in his endeavor. He was successful. Now, what can we glean from the testimony that God gives us from the story about Hezekiah? I want to apply this brief little summation of his life in verse 21, and I want us to learn some things this morning that will help us as we are serving the Lord. There are just four little quick things I want you to see. Number one, I want you to see from this verse that wholeheartedness is the key ingredient to a successful life. Wholeheartedness is the key ingredient to a success in life. I think this is a truth that needs to be shouted from the rooftops of our country today. I think that this is a message that every kid graduating from high school needs to hear. I think that it's a message that every young person graduating from college needs to hear. I mean, we need to hear this truth. And also, I think it is something that the elderly cannot afford to overlook. Wholeheartedness in any endeavor that you undertake in life. Several years ago, we were helping a young man and his wife start a church down in the southern part of the state. And the pastor from where this young man came out of his church to go start this church called me and asked me if we would help support him for a couple of years until he got the church up and running. And I said, sure, we'll be glad to help. Well, several months went by. I never heard a word from this guy, never got any reports, didn't know anything, how it was going, didn't know if it was going well or if it was going poorly. I just didn't know. And I got interested. I got to thinking about it. And so I picked up the phone and I called the pastor of the church where this young man was out of that church planting the other church. And so I just asked him point blank. I said, "Hey, so-and-so." He said, "Yeah." I said, "How's that work going?" And he said, the effort to plant the church failed. And so I said, "Oh, that's awful." I said, "What happened? Were there not enough of us to support the work to where he could give himself to it? And was there not enough money? What's the problem?" And the pastor said, "Well, the problem is not that there wasn't enough money to help get it started. The problem was that he did not even put himself into the work." He did not even put himself into the work. Now, folks, listen, if we hope to accomplish anything in life, we have got to go at it with wholeheartedness. We just must. We live in an age where people are growing more and more dependent upon everything else and everybody else instead of being dependent upon themselves. We are in a society, and folks, listen, this is what liberalism is all about. Liberalism is about the government taking care of you and thinking for you and meeting all your needs as long as you and I do what they tell us to do. That's the whole idea behind liberalism. And that's why you're seeing all this fuss about housing subsidies and food stamps and gas cards and Obama phones and you name it. That's why there's such a protest about all this stuff, because all it's doing is making people dependent upon the government. And the Bible perspective is that you and I be dependent upon the Lord. The Bible perspective is that you and I work and earn an honest living and do what God calls us to do. That's the idea behind the Bible. And if we could somehow read along the long list of human failures, we would see that a lack of wholeheartedness was the reason for about 99% of the failures that we have in life. Now, granted, it takes a certain amount of intelligence to do a lot of tasks in life. There are a great many endeavors men undertake that would never and could never be done without a certain degree of intelligence. Nonetheless, I am convinced that for every time a person fails through a lack of brain power, 20 others fail because they do not attack their endeavor with wholeheartedness. And folks, King Hezekiah set out to do his job with all of his heart, and the Bible says that he prospered when he did it. Now, let's just think about this. What was the man's work? What was Hezekiah's work? What did he do that wholeheartedly? Think about that for a moment. I guess the only way to really get you to understand is to give you an illustration, to give you an example. Let me parallel using today's world as an example, just to give you an idea of what this king did in Judah. Let's suppose, and mind you, this is a major supposition, but let's just suppose that Martin O'Malley interrupted the television broadcast Tuesday night for the state of Maryland. And let's just suppose that he stood before a microphone and said to all the citizens of Maryland, "I'll have an announcement to make. I went to church Sunday at the Church of the Open Door in Westminster, Maryland. And I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ preached there. And Sunday morning, I walked down the aisle and got on my knees at the altar and confessed that I was a sinner before God, and I asked the Lord Jesus to save me. Then the preacher shook his finger at me and told me that I need to get in the Bible to find out how to be the governor of the great state of Maryland. And so for the last couple of days, I've been reading the Bible. And I've got to apologize to the people of Maryland, and there are going to be some changes that are going to happen immediately in the state of Maryland. First of all, everybody has to start going to church this coming Sunday morning. Everybody is going to start going to church. You're not only going to go on Sunday morning, but you're going to come to Sunday school as well so you can learn. And then you're going to stay for preaching so you can hear the word of God and get challenged to serve and be what God would have you be. And then you have to be there Sunday night. And if a church is not full, I'm going to hear about it. And then you got to be there Wednesday night so you can learn the Bible. And everybody is going to start going to church. And by the way, starting tomorrow morning, there will be no more abortions in Maryland. We're not killing any more babies in Maryland. And then we're going to shut down all these gambling casinos that are ruining people's lives and making slaves to the system out of these people that are throwing money down a rat hole in a casino. And then we're going to shut down all the liquor stores, and we're going to shut down all the bars, and all that's going to stop. The welfare department is going to be restructured and reworked. And it is only going to provide for those people who cannot work. If you can work, you will work when you get hungry. Can I get a witness right there? And then he would continue on and say, now listen, when I say you have to go to church, I mean, you have to go to a church that believes that the Bible is the Word of God. You have to go to a church that preaches the Word of God. Not one of these nightclubs, not one of these feel-good things. No, we're going to shut all those down, and only churches that adhere to the Bible are going to remain open. And I would recommend you go to the Church of the Open Door in Westminster. Imagine Martin O'Malley getting up Tuesday night and saying that to the state of Maryland. Well, that's what Hezekiah did. Same magnitude, folks. And the people were no doubt floored when he came along and said what he did. People probably stood and said, "Can you believe that?" But wait a minute. He did this with his whole heart. And when he put his whole heart into it, the people followed and they did what he suggested that they did. And the point is, folks, what I'm trying to get you to see here, his endeavor was a huge endeavor. What he set out to do here was of the magnitude that you and I cannot even comprehend. Now, let's apply this to us. Let me just ask, do any of us have a task before us even remotely close to this magnitude? And the answer to that is no. None of us here have the weight of an entire nation upon our shoulders. In comparison with Hezekiah, our tasks are minimal. even tiny. But please don't misunderstand me. I am not. And please don't think that I am trying to belittle what anybody does for a living. That's not my intent. But what my intent is to, by comparison, contrast, get you to see that compared to running a nation accountable to God as His chosen people, the business that you run, the office that you manage, the company that you lead is not near as complicated as what this man held in his hands. But should we not give ourselves wholly to what God has entrusted us with? And brethren, if we entered into our task with the same wholeheartedness that Hezekiah entered into his task, and if God got behind him, would not God get behind us? If he was successful, would not God getting behind our task make us successful as well? I think it would turn things around real quickly if we just got a little wholeheartedness in our lives. I think that we have been conditioned into thinking in this country, well, if this doesn't work, I can always go on food stamps. Well, if this doesn't work, I'll go on welfare. Well, if this doesn't work, no, my friend, individual accountability. Let's make up our minds that we're going to do what God leads us to do and do it wholeheartedly, get God behind it, and God will prosper us. Second thing I want you to see, wholeheartedness is needed in every area of our lives. Every area of our lives. You know, several times in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul spoke on this subject. Paul certainly wanted us to do all that we do with all of our hearts. He said many a time, whatsoever ye do, it was to be done with all of your heart. Work, serve, pray, preach, sing. I mean, whatever you do, do it with all your heart. You sing in the choir, sing with all your heart. Work on the bus route, do it with all your heart. You watch the nursery. Oh, thank God for the nursery. Folks, if I ever turn that bunch of two-year-olds loose on us, we're in trouble. We couldn't hold up. Thank God for those that work in the nursery. Do it with all your heart. You interpret for the deaf, do it with all your heart. You play an instrument, do it with all your heart. I mean, that's what makes it's such a blessing to everybody else when we can see that we're serving the Lord with all our hearts. In Colossians 3 and verse 23, Paul said, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord." I like the way he put that in there. As to the Lord and not unto men. Now think of how that is worded by the Apostle Paul. Do you think that a college graduation speaker anywhere in America this over the last couple of weekends, or do you think that a motivational speaker anywhere in the world would have phrased it exactly like Paul did? I don't think so. I can hear some college speaker at graduation challenging those graduates and saying, "Whatsoever you do, young people, do it heartily, for this is the way for to nobleness of character." I could see them saying that. But you see, with Paul, prosperity, success, accomplishing something was always connected to your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why he said it this way, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men." And what he is saying is that the way to success for any person is only found on the road to fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying this, everything you do, do it as if you were doing it for Jesus himself. Boy, that'd change a lot, would it not? Let me tell you something, folks. No slacker, no idler, no lazy goof-off can ever hope to have real, true fellowship with the Lord. You might deceive yourself and think you, but no, no, wholeheartedness. It takes work. It takes effort. It takes a little elbow grease to stay in fellowship with the Lord, to stay right with God and to grow as a Christian. Our great example in this is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. When you start in Matthew and you get through the end of John and those four books, we call them the Gospels, that tell us about the life of Christ. You read those four Gospels and never do you see the Lord Jesus a slacker. Never. Never. He said every single day as he went about his ministry, he said, my meat. All right, meat, M-E-A-T, my meat. What's he saying? He's saying, my nourishment, my food, my hamburger, my T-bone steak, my portion is to do the will of him that sent me. He did everything, worked endlessly, and he did everything with his whole heart. He never faltered. He never got sidetracked. He never got distracted. He never slipped up. He never regretted a thing he did. He never listened to strange voices that would lead him off purpose, even though at the end of his life was a Roman cross and an empty grave. And he knew that. He never slacked once. Not once. He did his work heartily. And the end result was he prospered with the prosperity of heaven. And he now has this huge family that has been adopted into the family of God, his family. And that family is from all over the planet. Folks, listen, the Lord Jesus was the most wholehearted toiler the world has ever witnessed. And we are to be like him. And the only way we can be like him is to know him as he is. And we got to put our effort into the Christian life. Read your Bible. Be faithful to church. God's faithful. We heard that in song. And we should be faithful as well. Then there's a third thing. The third thing is this. The sad thing about half-heartedness is we miss the gladness of it. The joy that comes as a result of being wholehearted. When we are half-hearted, we go through life half-hearted, we miss the gladness of it all. You know, this man, Hezekiah, he lived a long time ago, long time ago, long before photographs and portraits. We don't have any idea what this man looked like. There is no record anywhere in all of the history books as to what this man looked like. But I guarantee you, if you could go back to his day and walk down the streets of Jerusalem and he passed you on the street, you could have looked into his face and known who he was. I'll guarantee it. You see, when a person is living life with all of his heart, it shows on his face. It shows on his face. Half-hearted people go through life like they have lead boots on. Half-hearted people, they're so irritable and so easily provoked, grouchy, intolerant, and usually about as selfish as it's possible to be. I mean, there's music all over our world, but a half-hearted person doesn't hear a note of it. And I cannot help but think that much of the music which was always ringing in our Lord's ear was due to his complete obedience to the will of the Father. Brethren, listen, wholeheartedness is something that is needed. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me. Day in and day out, and night in and night out, every message, every miracle was done with a whole heart. And the point is, a wholehearted man will have a heart of joy and gladness as he lives his life. I'm sure that Hezekiah got criticized? I'm sure he did. I'm sure Hezekiah had his enemies and those that tried to discourage or those that tried to stop the reform that he was bringing. I have no doubt that happened. But boy, he didn't quit. Why? Because he had a whole heart. He poured himself into it. Oh, that we would just pour ourselves in to what God has called us to do. That we would just pour ourselves in to seeing people saved. That we would just pour our hearts in to teaching that class that God has gifted us with. If we would just make up our mind that those little boys and girls that sit in front of me are not just going to get a patented, scripted Sunday school lesson, but they're going to get something that I have gotten from the Lord out of that passage of Scripture the next week. Oh, I'm telling you, folks, wholeheartedness will take you a long way in life. Then number four, lastly, I want you to notice that little word that is found in verse 20. Two little words, every work. Every work. Man, that says volumes, does it not? That means the spiritual things as well as the political things. Every work he did. I mean, everything he endeavored, he just went at it wholeheartedly. We're told here that he did every work with his whole heart. Now, I want you to think about the magnitude of what God is saying here about Hezekiah. This is something in everything. You know, in order to get you to see this, let me just be personal with you for a moment. There are a lot of different aspects to me being a pastor of this church. I suppose you could say my job is I'm the pastor of the church. If somebody asked me, said, where do you work? My normal response is, I don't work, I'm a preacher. That's my normal response. I don't really consider this work. I see it more as a calling than work. But somebody says, what's your job? Well, I'm the pastor at the Church of the Open Door. Now, there are some parts of my job that I like better than others. This part of my job, I love this part. That's the preaching part. I love it. I'm at my peak in contentment when I walk up from behind this pulpit and say, open your Bibles. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. I also love the preparation that goes into walking up here and saying, open your Bibles. Because you hear these guys say, I'm going to preach on what the Lord laid on my heart. Well, that's all well and good, but I tried that once and the Lord didn't lay anything on my heart. I stuttered and stumbled around and had an awful time. And, you know, my preacher used to say that. I'm going to preach tonight on what the Lord laid on my heart. And I wondered why he had pages of notes with him. If the Lord laid this on your heart, you know, but he made it sound like right there, the Lord just laid that on his heart. So he preached a perfectly alliterated outline. And so I kind of thought that's how you did it, but I found out real fast, it's not. And so I have to study. It takes hours to do the Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. It takes more hours to do the Wednesday night than it does the Sunday morning and Sunday night. But I put it down the thought. And I love reading the Bible and seeing the nuggets and seeing the thought develop and then putting it in an outline form so that it's structured, it makes sense, it's saying something, and you're learning something. I love that with all my heart. I love that. Oh, that's fun. There have been so many times where a truth would jump out of the Bible or a thought would come together. And honestly, I feel like I should take my shoes off that I'm standing on holy ground because I know I didn't know that. God gave it to me. I love that. But then there are other aspects of my job. Weddings, for example. Times where somebody needs to see me and they're not happy. You know, because I made a decision. And you know, the sad part is I can't stand up here and tell all of you everything that goes into the decision that I made. I can't tell you because I don't want to hurt anybody. I can't tell you the whole story. All I can tell you is I made this decision. And boy, when sometimes that decision is made, I know long before I've ever made the decision, this is not going to sit well with, and I can name you who it's not going to sit well with. Now, I don't like those parts of my job, but I have to do them. I have to do them. They're not what I would rank up there right underneath studying for a sermon. They're way down on the bottom of the list, down by weddings. Now, I'll do weddings. If kids want me to marry them, I'll do them. I'll do them with a smile on my face and be happy doing them. But if it can go wrong at a wedding, it will. I found that out, and there you're standing. That's honest truth. If it can go wrong, it will. Sound system never works at a wedding. Never. It's always a mess. Somebody drops the rings. The groom passes out. Oh, yeah, you see it all at a wedding. Get stung by a bee when you're outside doing a wedding. Sweat bee crawls down and bites you on the back of the neck. Oh, it's wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, I love spending those precious times together with the kids. Love it. But you know what? I have found that most problems that I have come when I don't do with a whole heart those things that I don't necessarily like to do. You understand that? I mean, the things that you don't like to do, you say, well, I'll just let that slide. And you mark it down right there where you let it slide is where your problems are going to come. Yes, there's things. I'm sure Hezekiah felt the same way about what he set out to do. But my text says that he was wholehearted in every work. In the things he didn't like to do and in the things he did like to do. It didn't matter. Whatever it was, he was wholehearted in doing it. He was wholehearted in the things he was good at, but he was also wholehearted in the things that he was not good at. He just went at everything wholeheartedly. Oh, that we had that kind of conviction in our hearts today. Are you a mother? Are you a teacher? Are you an office worker? Are you a contractor? Are you a preacher or a teacher or a truck driver? It matters not what profession you have chosen for yourself. There are certain things that you like to do in your work, and there are certain things that you loathe doing in your work. And we're all alike in this area. And I suppose that's why we call what we do work. Because there's always something in our work that we don't like to do. And it becomes work to do it. So what we ought to do is just make up our mind, we're going to do everything we do wholeheartedly. That's what Hezekiah did. And God blessed him and he prospered. Should we not look at our work like the king looked at his and do it wholeheartedly? And folks, if we do, we will prosper. Now, I don't know that there is a better way to a clear conscience. I don't know that there's a better way to a good testimony. I don't know that there's a better way to a noble character than to do every separate thing we do but do it with a whole heart. Yes, we might have to do some things that we don't particularly enjoy doing, but it is usually in the doing of those things that we find ourselves helping the most people. You know, I was thinking in between services this morning, and I was thinking about some of the things just flashing through my mind. And you know, you can help somebody. And it may not be convenient at the time when they need the help. You know, they may call in the middle of the night and they need help. And you go. You guys with me on this? And it's the middle of the night and you look at your watch and you got sleep in your eye and you're driving over to the hospital or you're driving over to somebody's house. And you walk in the door and there's tears. You walk in the door and there's sorrow, hurt. And you're able to, with just a few words and a few scripture references, and you're able with just a simple prayer to bring peace, to bring calm, to bring a blessing and turn a horrible situation into something productive. You see, it's in those difficult tasks. But if you enter into it with a whole heart, you'll prosper. My friend, think about what you do. Let's take just a moment and evaluate our lives, evaluate our efforts. Do we do that which we do for the Lord with a whole heart? Would you answer that question in your own soul this morning? How much more would we please God and help others if we did what we do with a whole heart? Thank God for Hezekiah's example. Every work he did with a whole heart.